recently received a Dad's Works article from David Barry. And Dad's Works is one of the missions that we support. David has a ministry to dads and helping dads to be the dads that God has called them to be. And I was particularly impressed by this article. He did it following Father's Day or leading up to Father's Day. It says, it's good to set aside a day to remember and honor fathers. Fathers are vital to families. Research shows that when dads are present and involved in their children's lives, there are 6 positive effects on the family and children. Financially, the family is less likely to suffer poverty. Emotionally, there's more stability, security, and higher self-esteem. Physically, children are less violent. Educationally, children do better in school. Spiritually, children have a model to follow. Behaviorally, children have less deviant behaviors. A great way to celebrate dad is to spend time with him. Tell your father you love him, appreciate him, value him, and honor him. Tell him specifically what he means to you. You can do this by phone, letter, a card, or visit. Whether he is alive or deceased, find a way to honor dad. This year for the June Dad's Works update letter, I want to salute and honor my own dad, Earl Barry. We buried him 2 weeks before his 87th birthday 18 years ago. I salute dad for his service to America. He was in college when World War II broke out. He enlisted and served the army in Burma and other parts of Asia. I honor dad for being there for me. When his love and wife of 9 years died, leaving him with 4 children ages 6 months to 7 years old, he held the family together and was there for us. I was just shy of 5 years old when she died. How many of you know David Barry? He's come to some of our Living Grace Ministries events. Dad only spoke well of her. He always praised her character and their marriage. Dad remarried, but that marriage ended in divorce when his wife left him. But Dad stayed with us. He never left us. I could depend on him to be there when I needed him. Dad was faithful and loyal to his family. I thank Dad for teaching me many things. These are some of them. Love God and trust the Bible. Amen. Compassion for poor and needy people. Respect others without criticism. Loyalty to family and friends. Forgive others and see the best in them. Managing money is a serious responsibility. Only buy what you need, not what you want. Honesty and integrity are marks of godly character. I hope to pass these qualities on to my children and grandchildren. Thank you, Dad. I salute and honor you. So I thought I would just share that with you from one of the missions that we support, David Barry, Dad's Works. Last week, I shared a message on how we are created, how we are created in God's image, and that means all people have value. Sometimes I've shared that means the baby in the womb has value. That means the elderly lady crossing the street has value. That means that the boy who's being bullied has value. And I just want to commend Ifeoluwa and Essence. I'd like Ifeoluwa and Essence to stand up right now. Great. This week, Ifeoluwa and Essence saw somebody at the park beating up on another boy. And they stepped in and helped to stop that situation. And I want to thank you for caring for those that are weaker. Way to go, Ifa, and way to go, Essence. Amen. Well, I'm starting a series of messages on marriage. And first, I want to lay a foundation regarding how we approach all people. And really, this is a foundational message that I'm going to be reviewing over and over and over again as I go through this entire series. It really speaks to how we reach people for Christ. With the recent Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage, there was much vitriol in social media, even among Christians. And that kind of dialogue and vitriol going on and that kind of speech is not honoring to Christ. Many in the church are going one of two ways. Either they're going the way of political correctness and compromise, or they're going the way of harshness and judgmentalism. This issue has many implications, and we're not going to try to conquer this issue and accomplish this message in one message. There will be many messages in the future as we really approach this, because there are many implications. For instance, there's implications for evangelism. How are we to approach all sinners in regards to evangelism? There's implications for teaching our children. We really need to be equipped and how we're to teach our children. And so we need to be equipped in all areas. It's causing us to be absolutely serious and committed. It's causing us to really have to hit the bullseye in our Christian in our Christian walk, and taking that narrow gate that leads to life. And that narrow gate can be very narrow at times. And it can be very narrow at times compared both to the world and also to the larger church, quote unquote, the larger church. We need to be the true church of Jesus Christ. As I've wrestled with how we as Christians should approach this issue as it applies to people, and Christianity is all about people, the Lord has given me a certain biblical focus. I wrote in my prayer journal on July 16th, I wrote, "The Lord really is crystallizing the focus for me. We're to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth." Amen. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and John 1. This is what I wrote in my prayer journal. We don't compromise one or the other. It's Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Amen. Grace and truth are not incompatible. In fact, they are totally compatible in Christ. Amen. And then I thank the Lord for giving me clarity personally, for me, clarity regarding how to approach this issue. It's really simple. In this issue, as well as every issue, God is calling us to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth. The question, how does that happen? How do we imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth? We sang the song this morning about hearts being broken before the Lord. I know in my life, I've told Sylvia many times, except for the grace of God in my life, I wonder where I would be. Except for the grace of God in my life, I wonder if I would be in prison right now. I know what the grace of God has done in my life. Amen. I know the direction that I was going as a young person, as a young man. And I know how God's grace totally changed my life. Amen. Except, you know, we think all of our lives, except for the grace of God in our lives, where would we be? Amen. There's an instructive anecdote from Christ's life that I would really like to look at. In John chapter 8... the teachers of the law and the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. A woman was caught, and she was trapped, or she was caught in the act of adultery, and she was brought before Jesus. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they questioned Jesus as what they should do with this woman according to the law of Moses. They were trying to trap him. You see, the Roman law said that the Jews were not allowed to execute people. At the same time, the Mosaic law, even though it hardly ever happened, the Mosaic law called for execution. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus leaned down and started writing in the sand. Many people, the scripture does not tell us, but many people have speculated that perhaps Jesus is writing the sins of some of the men standing there. We know that Jesus is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. Scripture does not tell us. However, if our all-knowing Lord was writing the sins of some of the Pharisees standing there, I wonder what he was writing. Perhaps he was writing sins such as the following: abusing one's wife, divorcing one's wife, stealing from one's boss, cheating, judging people from their outward appearance, racial prejudice, not respecting authority, slandering others. Perhaps he would write something where you talk about one Pharisee and the other Pharisee, and how one Pharisee said this about this other Pharisee, and the other Pharisee didn't know it. Gossiping about others, watching pornography, committing adultery, and lusting after women. For instance, Jesus emphasized the serious consequences of lust in Matthew 5:29. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. No one likes his sins being broadcast to others. And yet we know that we've all sinned, have sinned, and continue to sin. That's why we have to have the Lord's table. That's why every day we need to come before the Lord and confess our sins before Him. When the Pharisees kept questioning Jesus, He said, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And he kept writing in the sand. After all of the Pharisees began to leave, from the oldest of them to the youngest, Jesus asked the women, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. In one fell swoop, Jesus showed grace and love. You think, well, perhaps Jesus is the only one that's able to do that. To show grace and love in one action altogether. To show grace and truth. In one fell swoop, he showed grace and love. He did not condemn the women. And he spoke truth and the need for repentance. He said, go now and leave your life of sin. Leave your lifestyle of sin. In a singular moment, Jesus showed both grace and truth. Because of Jesus' character and simply who He is, the woman came to understand both the grace of God as well as the need to repent from living in sin. Surely she knew, as all honest souls do, the destructive consequences of sin. And Jesus provided her with a way of escape. This Christ we are called to imitate. Amen. All people need God's grace. I need God's grace. You need God's grace. Every single person that would walk through this door needs God's grace. I saw a person, you know, the guy, the young man that walked through the door halfway through the service last week. Well, you know, I run around here. I walk through the park and so forth and so on. And I'm going to try to be going to that park more and more because there's bullying going on over in that park. All right. I walk through here and so forth. And he just said, you know, I'm going to try to make it to church. And he came halfway through the church. He came through the door halfway through the church service. All people need God's grace. All people need that living grace which turns their lives around. All people need truth, the truth of God's word, including what God says about sin. All people need God's grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus showed the woman how she could be forgiven and begin a new life. And that involves both grace and truth. In order to be forgiven, one must confess his sin, acknowledging one's sin and turning from it. And that is a process of someone coming to Christ. It's a process of both grace and truth. God's grace shows love. It provides a way to escape. It provides a way to escape sin. It provides the way to escape the destructive consequences of sin. And God's truth shows what we need to do. There is something called sin. There are things called sin, which, in order to start a new life, one must tell the truth about those things. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. God has given us the way of confession, the way of confession of sin for forgiveness. And confession is telling the truth about our sin. That's why it's so important as a principal in the Living Grace Christian School that I require the students to tell the truth about what they've done. Because if you don't tell the truth, there can't be any forgiveness. God has given this way to tell the truth about our sin. So the question remains, what about us? What does the Lord require of me? What does the Lord require of us? How do we approach people, including those living in sin? Our goal in receiving all people, including those living a homosexual lifestyle, is the same as that in all of our life. To imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Amen. Don't even try to approach people as yourself. Don't even try. We are called to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth. When the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, He challenged them. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. As Christians, we are called to love others, not to judge them. Judgment belongs to God. If we are called to judge anyone, we're called to judge ourselves, not others. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The goal of our discipleship, the goal of our Christian walk, is to imitate Christ. John 1:14, 16 and 17 emphasizes, the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ, and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Our goal in confronting the issue of homosexuality with people is to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth. The question is how? Psalm 40 verse 10 instructs us, I do not hide Your righteousness in my heart. I speak of Your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal Your love and Your truth from the great assembly. Let me repeat that. I do not conceal Your love and Your truth from the great assembly. This is happening in churches all over our land. Either love or truth is being concealed. Either love or truth is being concealed. Churches are coming down on this issue all over our land. And there is much confusion right now. You know what my compass is? My compass is the Word of God. My compass is seeking Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Amen. Christ, who is grace and truth. We need both. We need love and truth. We need both love and truth. We need both grace and truth. Psalm 40:11 says, do not withhold Your mercy from me, O Lord. May Your love and Your truth always protect me. Love and truth. You know, I know for me, often I can be more judgmental toward others than God Himself. I think often we can be more judgmental toward others than God Himself. When someone is legalistic toward themselves, they also tend to be legalistic toward others. I know God's grace in my life and His communicating His message of God's grace in my life helped me in my relationship with the Lord, and also has helped me in my relationship with others. God's grace. So often we can be more judgmental toward others than God Himself. Jonah dealt with this. Do you remember the story of Jonah and the whale? Alright, and the big fish? Well, there's more to the story. Toward the end of the story, Jonah complained when God had compassion on Nineveh and gave grace when they repented. It says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He was angry with God. Jonah was displeased with God for showing grace to the Ninevites. I mean, you think an evangelist would want people to come to know the Lord. All right? And he had incredible results. All right? They came to Christ. They repented. And he was displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? All right, it doesn't say it there in the Word of God, but you can kind of often, you wonder if he's thinking, that's why I ran away and ended up in a fish. Because I knew you would do this. All right? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Sometimes we're like Jonah. We can be even more judgmental than God Himself. Sometimes we're like Jonah. We can even be less gracious than God Himself. Grace is God's unmerited favor that is shown in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's how grace is shown to the people of this world. That is how God's grace has been shown to every single one of us. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance and be saved. I was so blessed recently when Sue shared about Rick's mother coming to know the Lord, coming to receive Christ as her Savior after Rick's death, but I'm sure it caused her to be thinking about her eternal home and so forth. I mean, that is such a blessing. Amen. To hear that happen. He wants all to come to repentance and be saved. God does. Grace is embodied in Jesus Christ. Truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is the purpose of the church? The church of Jesus Christ is called to be countercultural. The true church is supposed to be different from the culture of this world. As Christians, why would we even expect unbelievers to embrace the character of Christ and the injunctions from the Word of God? God said, if my people, who are called by my name, the true church of Jesus Christ, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If we want our land to be healed, it's we, the true church, that need to humble ourselves, pray, seek the Lord, and repent. That lifestyle of humility, prayer, and repentance starts with me and pastors all over this land. A revival of repentance that spreads to our congregations, churches who still believe, confess, and put into practice the whole counsel of God's Word. It means we have a true relationship with Jesus Christ that engenders prayer and dependence upon the Lord. As the true church, we need to be what God calls us to be in 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's what we are seeking to be at all times. That's why we love to come together and to praise the Lord and to worship Him, because we have been created to praise Him. We have been created to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. We have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light of our Savior Jesus Christ. We sang the song about hearts being broken. What breaks your heart? What breaks my heart? I could think of some things that would break my heart. My heart needs to be broken. What breaks our heart? Our hearts need to be broken before the Lord. And as we humble ourselves, remember that God gives grace to the humble. I'd rather be in a place of grace than in a place of judgment of others. Matthew 7 verse 1 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now to be clear, 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment." We are called on to make judgments. I'm called on to make judgments. I'm called on to make judgments as a pastor, as a principal, as a parent. As parents, we have to make judgments as to what we're going to allow our kids to be a part of, and so forth and so on. All right, we're called on to make judgments. A spiritual man makes judgments about all things. We are called on to make judgments, but we don't go around with a judgmental spirit. There's a difference. We don't put ourselves in the place of God. John 7:24 says, "Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment." For the person that's captured in the darkness of homosexuality, there's a sense of being lost. There's a sense of hurt there. Being lost in sin. A lost soul needing the light of Christ in his life. Something is missing. Something is missing in that person's life. Fundamentally, there's a need. There's a need of the love of the Father. Indeed, the need of all of our hearts is only met in the love of our Abba Father God. And there have been many fathers over the years that have been very, very harsh. And that exchange can only come with the love of our Abba Father God, where the Abba Father God is able to show that love that was not shown even from a very young age to that child. How do we win the lost? How do we win any lost person? In our daily lives, in all of our interactions, in all of our acquaintances, with our co-workers, with our neighbors, with our family members, we need to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth. I know this issue really hits home when a family member makes a declaration, "I'm gay, I'm homosexual, I'm coming out of the closet." We're not to shun that person. That person needs the love of Jesus Christ. That person has been created in the image of God. God calls us to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth, and whatever the situation may be. Only through Christ, only through grace and truth. We need to trust the Lord to enable us by His Spirit to share the love and grace of God. And when the Holy Spirit yes, provides us with the opportunity, Amen. We are called to share the truth of God's Word, all again by His grace. Amen. We can't forget that people's eternity is at stake.
That's right.
My dad had lunch with my brothers and I. Actually, it was a later nighttime get-together. Not lunch. And we got together. I think it might have even been for his 70th birthday. It was a special thing. And my brothers and I took him out. And he just shared with us heart to heart. And he shared about how there's some unfinished business with one of his brothers. And if the Lord should take my dad home, he was just saying to us that we need to be praying. We need to be looking for opportunities. Just like Sue's mother-in-law came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in her age. We need to be looking for opportunities to still share the good news of Jesus Christ with his brother, so that he can spend eternity in heaven with Christ. We can't forget this. There still is eternity at stake. The truth of God's word is still the God's word. If we love that person, we're still going to endeavor, being led by the Holy Spirit, to share the truth of God's word, to share how salvation comes through Jesus Christ, so that that person can have a relationship with the Lord and go to be with the Lord in heaven. We can't forget about eternity. Eternity's at stake. Sometimes with all the media presence and the political correctness, it has an effect on us. And it can push us to go one way or the other. We need to have our anchor. We need to have our compass in the word of Jesus Christ, imitating Christ who is full of grace and truth. One of the pieces of advice that will stick in my head forever that my dad continually emphasizes is that the Lord abhors all extremes. It's a scripture. The Lord abhors all extremes. And there's a certain sense to finding the narrow gate. There's a certain sense to imitating Christ who's full of grace and truth. And the world will try to get us to go this way or this way. There's a balance. Imitating Christ who is full of grace and truth. Our church's pillar, correlating with the evangelistic motivation, is the gospel of grace. We have our pillars that relate to the apostle, the whole counsel of God's word, the prophet, being a house of prayer, the evangelist, the gospel of grace, the pastor, there's a test here on the pastor, the bond of peace, the teacher, the imitation of Christ, the deacon, the calling of servanthood, the elder, the perfection of love. Our pillar relating to the evangelist motivation is the gospel of grace. As a fellowship of living grace, we seek to share the gospel, the good news, which can change people's lives. Do we believe that someone has to be quote-unquote good enough before they can enter our church's doors? No, we don't. We welcome people just as they are, and then endeavor to share the good news of God's grace that changes lives.
Amen.
Sometimes people are changed like that. Sometimes people, they go from being drug addicts or addicts to nicotine, and their life is like totally turned around. For most of us, it's a gradual change. For most of us, it's a gradual change. Whereas Pastor Rick would often say, may there be less and less of us and more of Christ. And so we welcome people just as they are and then endeavor to share the good news of God's grace which changes lives, all by the Spirit of God. We can't change people.
Right.
Only God by His Spirit changes people.
Right.
Just think how you've been changed gradually over the years. Perhaps you used to maybe not abuse your wife, but perhaps you used to kind of neglect your wife or your husband. And you see over the last decade how you've grown, and now you're more attentive to your spouse. You're more loving. Maybe you don't have a quick retort so much. Maybe you learn how to have a soft answer which turns away wrath. And you have that soft answer, and then your relationship, your marriage relationship has achieved a certain loving equilibrium where it's not as much argumentative and so forth and so on. And then when you look back on your life, you see how you've changed. You see how Christ has been born up in you more and more. That's how it is with us. We will continually be coming more and more like Christ until we see Him face to face. Only God by His Spirit changes people from the inside out.
Amen.
Our job is to imitate Christ, full of grace and truth. And yes, when the Holy Spirit leads us, share the whole counsel of God's Word, including how God created all people in His image, including the reality of sin, and because of our sin, we've been separated from God, including the reality of the redemption that Christ offers through His substitutionary sacrifice on the cross, and including God's desire to restore us to a grace-filled relationship with Him. In all we do, no matter the issue, we have the same goal, to imitate Christ, the perfect embodiment of grace and truth. As we reach out and disciple others, let Christ be our goal. We don't change people. Only Christ changes people. So the question remains, how? How do we imitate this Christ who is full of grace and truth? How can we walk this way? It's only through the mystery of the exchanged life of Christ. It's a mystery. Paul talked about this mystery. He talked about and somehow attaining to the resurrection. It's a mystery. By dying to ourselves and allowing Christ to live. Not by living for Christ. I'm going to be a hard worker for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm going to go out there and live for Christ. But allowing Christ to live through us. Amen. By learning to rest in Christ and let Him work through us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is all. Everyone say that. Christ is all. Christ is all. Christ is all. I shared it earlier. I have it at this point in my message again. As our beloved Pastor Rick would say, may there be less and less of us and more of Christ. Whoever the person, whatever the issue, it's Christ and only Christ, not us approaching that person. Think about that coworker. Think about your neighbor. We have neighbors that live right to the right of us. All right? They've been living a gay lifestyle for years. They live right next door to our house. All right? He mows my lawn and I mow his lawn. All right? And we're friends. And they know we're Christians. All right? They know that we're seeking to follow Christ. What about family members? Think about that family member. It's Christ. As you're walking up to that family member and you want to show Christ to that family member, you want to show grace and truth to that family member, we have to practice the presence of Christ. Don't think of yourself. You're not capable. Think of Christ. Think that Christ is shaking that person's hand. Christ is embracing that person. Christ is talking with that person. Christ is encouraging that person. How would Christ do it? Don't just make it a mental exercise. Make it a spiritual exercise. Christ is present. Christ is here. Christ is interacting with my son. Christ is interacting with my uncle. Christ is interacting with my sister. It's Christ. It's amazing to me how God's Word speaks directly to every issue confronting us. We are given clear direction in His Word if only we are willing to study God's Word and learn of Christ. Let's learn of Christ, who is gentle and humble in heart, Matthew 11:29. Let's learn of Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Not Christ full of grace or truth, but Christ who is full of grace and truth. I am so grateful for that principle. I am so grateful. I believe so strongly how it's the answer. Yeah. Imitating Christ who is full of grace and truth. I want to encourage you. I want to offer you to talk with me as we preach through these series of messages. There's a sifting going on. There's sifting going on in churches all across this land. People are leaving churches. People are joining churches. People want to know, what you think, how you believe, how you're coming down. Well, we're not coming down grace or truth. We're imitating Christ, who is full of grace and truth. It's amazing how God's Word, and we are a confessing God's Word church, living God's Word church, believing God's Word church, how God's Word speaks directly to every issue confronting us. But it's not about being filled with head knowledge. It's learning of Christ. Learn of Christ, who is gentle and humble in heart. Learn of Christ, who is broken. The Christ that was broken and willingly went to the cross to die for the sins of the whole world. Learn of Christ, who's full of grace and truth. Not grace or truth. Imitate Christ, the fullness of grace and truth. Let's all stand. I'd like you to just think in your minds right now of someone who is struggling with this issue of homosexuality. Just think of someone right now in your own mind and heart. And then think of Christ. Think of Christ's heart. It's the issue of our heart. God works in our heart. God speaks to us in our heart. God moves in our heart. Sometimes we're put in situations where we don't know what to do, and that's okay. Jesus said when we're brought before in persecution, we're brought before the authorities, and not worry about what you're going to be saying ahead of time, but to trust Him that He will give you the words. But there's a certain posture that Christ has, full of grace and truth. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that You would encourage each one here, that You would give them confidence, that You would give them confidence, Lord God, that they would know that Christ's love conquers all. Christ's love conquers all things. Do not worry about how the media tries to put us and try to portray us as one way or the other way and so forth. Help us to forget about all that. Help us to forget about the political correctness and the political posturing. And help us to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Amen. Help us to know that Christ is all. And Christ is in us. And Christ gives us whatever we need. Help us to understand that mystery of the exchange life of Christ. Is whoever we're approaching, whatever issue we may be approaching, it's not us, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have Christ. We have Christ in us. We have everything we need. Father, give us Your confidence. Let us know that love conquers all, Lord God. Help us to refuse to be pegged, Lord God, because we're identifying with You, Lord God. We're identifying with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.